Good evening. I'm Bill Campbell, and welcome to Straight Talk, the radio program produced by and about students. Tonight, join me in the studio. I have Bill Denny. Join me here live in the studio. First, welcome, Bill, for coming up to the studio on short notice and kind of a rush to get here at that. Kind of the topic for tonight is you spent some time in the Fairbanks Youth Facility, and I'm kind of curious what that was about and whatnot. To begin with, what happened?
Well, basically, since about 1986, I spent a lot of time getting in trouble with the law and everything. I committed a lot of burglaries and stuff like that, and some drug charges, and I had a bad history of drug abuse. I ran away from home a few times, and finally I got in trouble at school for drugs, and I ran away for about a month or so, and then my probation officer institutionalized me. So that was about what happened, you know, how I got there.
Before you were institutionalized by the probation officer, what happened? I mean, obviously you said you a few burglaries and whatnot, mm-hmm. but did you get caught?
Yeah, for some stuff I did, I got caught, but I found out when I got there that when I was spending my time in jail, that I didn't get caught for a lot. I did a lot more than I got caught for.
Mm-hmm. What happens when they caught you? Is it true that when you're under the age of 18, not a whole lot happens?
Well, that's true to a point. Not a lot happens, like, as far as you don't get major prison sentences unless it's a very serious crime. But most likely, you know, if you're just first offense through about the fourth offense, unless they're major, you'll probably just end up with, you know, continuing probation from the first time. Then after that, you can serve up to 2 years or until your 18th birthday. Mm-hmm. In a facility, and it's generally a two-year sentence.
What did they do for your first few offenses? Did they try to correct or anything? Was it counseling?
Yeah, my first few offenses were, yeah, they basically tried to, they sent me through family counseling because they thought that was the basis for a lot of my problems, which, I don't know, I don't really agree with that theory, but, and so they sent me through some family counseling, and then they sent me to some, and I, you know, they put me on probation, and I had to go report to my probation officer, and that's about all they did. You know, I had personal therapists and stuff like that. You know, and then my probation officer monitoring me. Sorry about that, but it didn't really seem to help.
What you said that you didn't really agree with family counseling. Why is that?
Well, basically, I don't agree with the theory that criminals are a product of their environment, and that's what they were trying to tell me, is that I was committing crimes because of how things were going on in my house. And basically, I was committing crimes because I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I was doing drugs and stuff, so I was committing crimes to support my drug habit, too. So I don't agree that my parents or anything or have anything are responsible for what I did, because they're not, really.
How did they react throughout all this?
Well, they got pretty frustrated towards the end, because there's nothing they could do that would really stop me. But in the beginning, they tried to help me out as much as they could. Well, they really tried to help me out as much as they could all the way through. But in the end, they kind of threw their hands up because there was nothing really they could do.
Did you get along with them?
Most of the time. Sometimes we fought a lot, you know, because I was always on drugs and stuff. I was always stoned, so we'd fight a lot. But for the most part, we got along a lot. But I know it was probably half and half. Mm-hmm. It all depended on how I felt at the time, if I was mad or something. Then, you know, we'd get in a fight, and if I was in a good mood, then something might not happen, but then again, it might.
Are you the only child in the family?
No, I have a brother and a sister, too.
Older, younger?
Well, my sister's older than me, and my little brother's younger than me.
What about them? How'd you get along with your brother and sister?
Pretty well, really. My sister, I don't know, I guess I still get along with them both really good. I always did. They got disappointed in me, too. I know that, though. Because mm-hmm. I just wouldn't stop doing what I was doing, and they were real worried about me. But I still get along with them.
You still do?
Yeah.
Parents, too?
Yeah, pretty much. We still have our differences and stuff, but they seem to work themselves out. So, yeah, I'm getting along pretty well with my parents.
Mm-hmm. Did they go into counseling with you? And
for a while they did, and then I quit going. I just started skipping my meetings or my counseling meetings and so they didn't come in anymore because I was just skipping them. And for a while, I was just going by myself, too. It all depended, really, on what the counselor wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get along with him?
The counselor? Well, I had so many, I don't know.
What about school?
School. That was a real high point in my life. I never did too well, really. I don't know, up until, you know, about seventh grade, I didn't do well at all. Grade school, I did, but mainly the later years, like my freshman year, I think I got like 3 credits in the whole year. And then my sophomore year, of course, I spent that in jail. And then that's about it. That's about my school, you know, as far as high school and everything.
When did you start using drugs and things?
I think it was around 1986, the last time we figured it out. Somewhere 86, 87.
Which about what? Ninth grade?
Yeah, grade? Basically. It was about eighth grade.
What? Did something in particular make you start using them?
I don't know, really. It was weird. I don't remember any significant event that started, maybe, that I started using drugs during. I just started. It was like, I don't know, gradual. You know, I drank sometimes, you know, on weekends, but it was never a big deal. And then I was introduced, you know, to pot and everything, and I started smoking it a lot. You know, after that, it was kind of like an immediate turn-on or something, attraction. So I started doing it a lot.
Was it hard to come up with at that young an age?
No, not really. I mean, not at all, really.
Pretty easy, huh?
Yeah, basically.
So what, is that your sophomore year, is that all far you got in school?
Well, in jail I caught up, you know, and now I'm back to my normal year. I'm supposed to be a junior, and I am. But it basically, in a public school, I didn't even make it that far. I made it the first quarter of my sophomore year.
Why?
I was caught in school with marijuana, and I was expelled from Lathrop High. I'm not sure if I was actually expelled. I think I was just suspended for 30 days, but I never went back. And after that, I stayed gone. I didn't go to school for a month, and then I went into jail.
What was it tough? In public school, was it easier to learn when you're in the correctional facility?
Oh, yeah, it was a lot easier because I had nothing else to do. So I just did a bunch of homework or, you know, just... It's not a real structured schooling environment, really. They just, you know, they give you... You take your books and stuff, and then you just... They give you the work you need to do, and as soon as you finish the work, you get your credit. So basically, I just did a lot of work because I had nothing else to do.
About the youth facility, how long were you in there for?
I was in there from October 30th. Through November, no, sorry, not November.
For about a year, though?
No, yeah, basically, a little less.
So you were in there for quite a while, though?
Yeah.
What was it like?
I think I was in there about 9 months. Well, it was tough. It's not like, I don't know if many people know about, you know, what youth corrections is, but it's basically... it's not actually a jail setting. It is. I mean, you're locked in. That's jail. But then you've got certain advantages. And one is, like, it's a treatment. It's also a treatment program where they give you a chance to try and look at some of your problems that you have and correct them for the future. So they spend a lot of time doing groups and stuff, like, you know, just problem groups about what's going on with you and how you're feeling about certain things. And they try and get you to work through the reasons that you're there. Like, they tried to get me to work through all my criminal behavior and stuff and look back on it and see how it's affected my life and stuff. And it wasn't too hard to see how it affected my life because I was sitting in jail, basically, so.
How did you first respond when they started trying to talk to you? Did you kind of blow it off as a joke, or did you take it seriously?
I didn't take it seriously because I thought that it was just going to be, I mean, I thought that I could just go there, serve my time, and just leave, you know. They told, when I first went in, they, you know, the quickest you can get through those programs is 6 months. And I had set my mind that I was going to get through in 6 months with no problem, you know. I just thought I'd just scam through the program and it'd be no problem. But then, and then I tried that for a while and it just didn't work. They knew what I was doing and I just got real screwed up on it, so.
What do you mean, what would you do to get through?
Well, I just, basically, you just say yes to everything they say and do everything they tell you to. And you just, it's like being a robot or something, you know. You just say, if they say something you don't agree with, you just say, yeah, sure, yeah, that's true. And it's real weird, but it's basically you just, you know, do everything. You just, like, do everything so they're happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
You just do what they want, not what you want, or what, not what's right for you, but they what they think you should do. So it's pretty weird. I don't know how to explain it, but
right. If you have any questions tonight, I'd like to call in and ask Bill any questions about anything, or myself for that matter. The phone number here to the studio is 474-5044. And again, that phone number, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, is 474-5044. You remember the date you went in?
Yeah, October 30th.
You knew before you went in that you were going in on that date?
No, I didn't. I was arrested. I was arrested from the Captain Bartlett Inn. Some friends of mine had broken into a hotel room, and me and another person were in it. And the security guards, I don't know, I fell asleep or something, and the security guards came in the morning, and they left. They thought that we'd been, you know, ripping people off from the, around the hotel room. But later that was dismissed because there was nothing stolen, so it was no big deal about that much. But, you know, they called the police, and there was about six cars, you know, patrolling the Lathrop area, Lathrop High School. And finally they caught me. You know, I ran for a while, but you can only run for so long with six cars after you.
All right. So then they took you straight in?
Yeah, they took me. Well, they took me downtown.
What was going through your mind?
I don't know. I was pretty mad, really. I was just pissed off. Because, I don't know, I was real worried, too. I was trying to think of a way to get out of all of it, you know?
And obviously you didn't find a way out?
No, there was no way out.
Were you hoping Mom and Dad would bail out? And...
Well, that's another thing. In the juvenile system, you can't bail people out. Yeah, they have to go to court and be released by a judge. So, I mean, my parents were pretty mad because I didn't call them for a month when I was gone. So, yeah, I didn't think anyone was bailing me out. I thought that I was just hoping that when I went to court, the judge would let me out. But then they told me there was no chance the judge would let me out. So I just kind of go, okay, whatever.
You were gone for a month.
Yeah, about that. About a month, very close to a month.
Where'd you go? Stay here in town?
Yeah, well, I stayed in North Pole for a while, and then I stayed in town for a while. I don't know, I was selling drugs and stuff, so I stayed in apartments and stuff. I had an apartment, and then I got evicted because there was too many people over all the time. And then there was I just stayed in a couple hotel rooms when I didn't have no place to go. I spent a lot of money on hotel rooms. But then before that, I stayed with one of my friends out in North Pole.
So you were selling, did you always have the money to afford hotel rooms and things?
I knew I could get it. And that's about it. I didn't always have it on hand, but I knew I could get it.
And we have someone calling in with a question or comment. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering to talk to Bill here. I'm having a problem very similar myself right now, and I wanted to know what I could do to keep me out of jail.
Any response?
Well, Josh, basically, which I don't know, I guess the best thing you can do is just try and follow your probation officer's things without trying to get around them. You know, if she tells you not to do drugs, that's the best thing not to do is drugs. And if she tells you to go to school, it's the best thing you can do is go to school. Because that's basically, and try not, you know, don't break the law or anything. That's the best way to stay out of jail is just to keep everything going and keep clean and everything. And so, you know, so you don't have any cops coming over and stuff. So that's about basically the best thing you can do is just follow what your probation officer says.
Obviously, you know the cause. Someone's listening tonight. What about your friends? What did they say when you, boom, they got you on October 30th and you were in jail? What did they say?
Nothing, really. I mean, most everyone, I knew I was going to go sooner or later. I knew that I couldn't keep going forever, you know, because I don't know, no one can. But basically, they didn't say much because you have very little contact with anybody when you're in jail. So my friends weren't really what I was worried about. It was my parents at that time.
Could your parents come in and see you?
Yeah, the first day I did, they came in and told me that I was in a lot of trouble and that there was no way I go, well, can you guys get me out of here? And they said, there's no way that you're going to get out of this one.
They're on your own, huh?
Yeah, basically.
When you got out, did your friends, were your same friends still there? Had they blown you off and were you kind of on your own?
No, I was really surprised by that. But all my friends before I left were still my friends now then. And they were all pretty excited to see me back, you know.
Even after a year, huh?
Yeah. I was really kind of, it was strange, you know, unexpected. So.
We have another caller. You're on the air.
Bill?
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of pot lately. And I was wondering if the public can get into a rehabilitation program at the youth facility.
Well, I don't really know. As far as that I know, there is no rehabilitation, you know, program at the youth facility. However, there is a program called Narcotics Anonymous, and that's a public program that anyone can get into, and that's about the only one. And you can call around town, you can call the youth facility or someplace like that, and they can give you the number to call and to a Narcotics Anonymous helpline who can give you all the information to where their meetings are and everything. But as far as youth facility, as far as I can recall, unless you're on probation or something, they do hold a couple groups for people who are in serious trouble, but they're just, you got to be on probation. So unless you're on probation, your best bet would be to go to Narcotics Anonymous.
Before you were picked up, did you even think about going to drug rehab, like Narcotics Anonymous?
No, not at all.
Never even crossed your mind?
No, I didn't think I had a problem. That was the last thing. I thought I had everything under control and there was no problem, you know. So I didn't even think, I didn't want to go anyway.
Having a good time. We were talking just for the phone call about your friends were still your same friends. Could they come in and see you at all or write you or anything while you're in there?
Well, I could receive mail. And you can't call. You can't call. Your direct immediate family can come see you, and no one else unless they're approved. And they got to be really good people to be able to come see you. And usually, very seldom do you ever get it so your friends can come see you. I don't know anybody when I was in there who ever had friends be able to come see them, mm-hmm. unless they lied about who they were.
Something like that. What was it? I mean, as far as the facility goes, you said it's kind of like a jail in that you're locked in. Mm-hmm. Is it like a hotel or is it jail? Or bar? I mean, what is it like?
Well, basically, it's hard to explain. It's really hard to explain. It's a jail. You know, you're locked in. It's very structured environment. You have a schedule of what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. There's groups scheduled at certain times and groups about anything, you know, just a daily group to see how things are going. And then, you know, there's drug dependency groups, criminal groups. They set certain goals for you in a week, every week, and you run on a point system of how well you behave and how you act. You get a certain amount of points every day. But basically, it's like a jail. It is a jail, but... See, okay, I'll tell you about how the place I was in was set up. That's about the only one I know about.
Uh-huh.
I was in a program called Hudiga, and then it was an 8-person program. It was a co-ed program that was supposed to hold 4 girls and 4 boys, which it barely ever got that way, though, because I don't know why. It just seems like not many girls go to jail. I don't know why. It just seems that way, really. Uh-huh. And then it was set up with 8 rooms around a wall. It was a very small building. And then there was a group meeting place, which was just in the middle. You know, there was a staff desk and a staff office. Every day, you wake up and you have a light in your room. So when they turn the light on, you wake up. They open your doors and you go to breakfast and you come back. You go to school for about 3 hours, basically. Then you come back and then you go to lunch and then you come back from there. And I think you go back to school and then you come back from school. And then it's just the units close. And then you just sit in your rooms for about an hour or so. And then you do cleanups where you just clean up the unit and clean up your room. And then at 5:30, then it's about 5:30 and you go to dinner. And then it's 6. And then at 6, you just starts the evening, which is like a bunch of groups or whatever people have to do if they have certain goals they need to accomplish and stuff like that.
You were obviously obviously addicted to drugs when you went in. How did that work? How was your dependency?
Well, when I went in, it was really hard because I was so used to having drugs and stuff. And I woke up, you know, sweating a lot and everything, and it was really lame. I had a real low attention span, and I was really nervous all the time and everything, which are those are signs of, what do you call that?
Withdrawal?
Yeah, withdrawal. I was looking for that word. I couldn't mm-hmm. find it anywhere. And that was really hard, you know, going through the withdrawal symptoms and stuff. But they only lasted like maybe 3 days, you know, and then I was okay, but I was still pretty upset, you know, about being there. But
did you ever get over that while you were in there?
Did I ever get over it?
Over being upset?
No. I always wanted to be, I mean, of course it's natural, you want to be somewhere else, you know, but I was still really, mostly I was upset at myself because I always told myself I'd quit doing what I was doing, and every time, and then I'd say that, then I'd go do something, and I'd say, I'm going to quit now. That's the last thing I'm going to do, and it never stopped. It was really lame.
Think you could have stopped on your own?
No, I doubt it, very seriously.
When you were in there, what did you want to do the very most? What, if you could have done one thing, what would it have been outside?
I don't know. I probably would have wanted to go home and just go see my family and stuff because, you know, it was real weird. I didn't see them much when I was in there. They came and visited me, but I was on like an hour a week. And mostly I just wanted to go home. It's about all I thought about doing was going home the whole time I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
When the, you knew when you were getting out, they set a date that you were getting out, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. When that date was approaching, what were you thinking?
Well, I didn't actually just get out. I got released from FYF, I think it was September 1st. And from FYF, I went to North Star Hospital Drug Treatment Program to finish, just because they thought it'd be the safest thing for me to do is go into a drug treatment program before I was out into the community again. So there was, I mean, I didn't really get nervous or anything how most people do when they've been away from society for a while, because I knew I had another 45 days before I was actually going to be out. Then, but I was really excited, you know, to get out. And I also noticed that I didn't have very good attention span to what was going on the unit, because I was thinking about getting out so much.
That was all you thought about?
Yeah.
When you got out, the North Star Hospital, did you live there for 45 days?
It's an in-treatment drug program in Anchorage. And I was there, yeah, it's an inpatient. And I was there 45 days, yeah.
You used to live there. When you came back, and obviously you went home first, I suppose.
Well, actually, I don't live with my parents. I live with my uncle. And so I just went to his house. I've been home a couple times since I've been back, but not really.
What was the very first thing you did?
Went to sleep, because I got in like 12.
Well, after that?
Oh, the next day? I didn't really do anything. I just sat around, you know, that whole day. And then some friends of mine came over, and we just went driving around and stuff. That was about the first thing. I think the first thing I did was called all my friends I knew who would be home.
You've only been out for what, 3 weeks now?
I guess basically I got out October 14th, about 3 weeks, maybe a month, very close to a month.
How has it been? has there been a lot of pressure to start using drugs again?
Yeah, really. My friends don't pressure me. Because they know, I mean, the friends I do hang around with who do drugs, they never ask me or anything to get stoned with them or anything, because they know I can't. Because basically, if I do, they're going to put me back in jail. So they don't pressure me. But then there's always, you know, a lot of times I want to. So then I start thinking about it because I want to. And that's basically the pressure. It just comes from me, because it's something I still want to do, you know. But, of course, I guess you never really lose the craving. I haven't. It's been like a year since I got stoned or did anything in like a year or so.
Think you'll ever get over that?
I don't know. I know a lot of people who have been off drugs for 10 years and stuff, and they say they've never gotten over it.
What do you think when you, go out to a party or something and see all your friends out there and they're all smoking? What do you, are you mad at them for doing it? Or obviously you want to a little bit, but...
Yeah, I'm not really mad, because I know that if that's what they want to do, it's their life and I can't change it. But I don't know. I mean, I have friends, you know, and they smoke dope and stuff, and I don't get mad, though, because I don't know. It's just because it's not my life and I can't do anything about it anyway, so I don't worry myself over it. I mean, I'd like it if they didn't, because I know it's bad, you know, bad for them and stuff, but, you know, they got to make their own decisions. I can't make them for them.
You ever encourage them to go to counseling? Do they listen if you would?
No, they wouldn't. I don't think. Basically, I mean, sometimes I do. Sometimes I mention it, but basically, I don't. I try not to say anything about it, because I don't want everyone to think that I'm trying to tell them what to do and stuff, and tell them, because no addict wants to listen to anyone else tell them what to do, and they don't want to listen to people tell them that they have a drug problem. And I'm just, I mean, I don't know. So I try not to bring it into anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if they wanted to get clean, they knew they could ask me, and they probably would if they wanted to.
Does it have any more impact? You know, an ex-addict? I guess you're always an addict, but an ex-user, always. Does it have any more impact, you telling them, than a counselor or something?
I don't know. I really don't. I think it would. I mean, because when counselors told me that I had a drug problem, when they didn't do drugs, I just got pissed and I just told them, I just go, how do you know? I mean, I just told them they didn't know nothing about me, and they didn't know nothing about anything they were talking about. So, but then when people who I knew had done drugs told me that I had a drug problem, I kind of listened more, because I know that they did too. So,
but even when they told you didn't go to counseling, did you kind of blow them off?
Yeah. Well, no one told me they ever thought I had a drug problem until just about 3 months before I went to jail, maybe 4. That's the first time anyone ever told me I had a drug problem.
What'd you do?
Nothing. I don't think I did anything. I just said, no, I don't have a drug problem. And I went home.
You said you live with your uncle now.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, it's going real good, actually. I live out, you know, North Pole. And it's going real good. I like it out there, so.
Are you going back to school?
Yeah, I go to North Pole High School.
So a junior this year?
Yeah, I'm a junior, finally. It's been 4 years, but.
What's in the future?
I don't know. I haven't decided really what I want to do. I'm hoping to graduate, though, you know. I only need, like, 2 credits, and I'll be a senior, so I'm hoping to graduate mid-semester next year, then go on to college from there.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully things work out.
How did that go when you switched schools? Because you were in town, and when you switched to a different school, did people know that you'd had a drug problem before? Did they kind of hold it against you?
Are you talking about just recently?
Yeah.
I went to Lathrop my freshman year for almost the whole year, but I barely ever went. And then I got moved into a foster home out of my parents' house out in North Pole, so I started going North Pole for about about three months at the end of the year. And then I started the next year, and I started late because I was in detention at FYF for 2 weeks because I got in trouble before that. And then they let me out, and I went back to my foster home. And then From there, I went back to North Pole. And then I got kicked out of my foster home, and I went back to Lathrop. So basically, I was in both places. I'd never been to any of the other schools, but those are the only two I've been to, and I was at both for a while.
Is there a drug problem worse at one school than another, or is it kind of just a universal problem?
I don't know. People say that there's more drugs in North Pole than there is at Lathrop. I don't know. I haven't been to Lathrop in a long time. I know there's a lot of drugs in North Pole, but I don't know about Lathrop. I haven't been there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even talk to many people from there, just a few friends. And they don't tell me about it anyway.
And they don't even mention it?
No, not really. Every once in a while someone will say something. I'll just go, I don't care. Because I don't know. I don't need to know. It's not important. But I know when I went to Lathrop before, there was a pretty bad drug problem there.
Lathrop always kind of gets the rap for being the bad drug school.
Yeah, and that's true.
I always wonder if it's justified or not.
I don't think so. My personal opinion is that West Valley, Monroe, and North Pole are far worse off than Lathrop is.
Why?
Well, basically, I know a lot of people from West, and I know that they have a lot of drugs over there. I don't know where they get everything or whatnot, but I know they do. And then there's Monroe, which gets all the people who have been kicked out of all the other schools to go there. All the people who are kicked out from drugs and expelled can go to Monroe, so that's where they all end up. And I know there's a lot of drugs there because I know people there. And in North Pole, I go there, and I know there's a lot of people and a lot of drugs there, too.
I don't think it's anyone. I think everything's kind of... Any solutions in the last... We have 1 minute here left. Any grandiose solutions?
I don't know. I think it's just a problem that's going to go on until... I don't really know what's going on. One solution for the whole problem. I think it's just a gradual change. It's going to start working. Because, like, today I had a meeting with a couple of people from the school board because a friend of mine got suspended for smelling like pot. And so... And that's not a real policy, you know. So I think they said they're going to change the policy now that... He's back in school now. We got him back to school. But they're going to change their policy, I guess, the guy was talking about today, is they're going to change their policy to where if you smell like pot, then they have the right to search you, not just suspend you, which I think is more accurate, and that will probably help out. And I think that the policies are getting tougher, and the penalties are getting tougher, too, and that might discourage people. I don't know.
Would it discourage you?
I would never take drugs to school because I didn't want to get in trouble, but that was about it. I mean, I still did drugs. I just didn't do them in school. I didn't buy them in school. I sold them in school every once in a while. When I needed money, I'd take them to school and sell them. But that was about it. I wouldn't get stoned in school either for a while. Then I started. First I wouldn't. Then I started doing it all the time. So I started doing it in school.
That's when you got caught, huh?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on tonight. I know you had, like, friends listening, so that could have been tough, but...
Oh, it's okay. They've all heard it.
They've all heard it before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I talk to them all the time about all this stuff.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Talking about it. Appreciate it, especially on short notice like this.
Oh, that's all right.
It's already 7 o'clock, and so that's it for Straight Talk tonight. Until next Wednesday night, I'm Bill Campbell, and good night.